Does either of you have any questions on our procedures?
No, Your Honor.
No, Your Honor.
We were given a notebook entitled Appellant's Demonstrative Exhibits. Does the Attorney General have any problem with our looking at these?
No, Your Honor.
Before we start our argument, I remind our spectators, if anybody has a cell phone or similar device, please turn it off so the lawyers are not interrupted. Otherwise, we're ready for argument in Alta Cala.
Trustees, on behalf of the appellants, who I will call the college or Westwood during my argument, may it please the court. As a member of the higher education community, Westwood College is governed by federal law, the standards of its accrediting body, ASICS, and a negotiated consent judgment with the state of Colorado. In 2013, 1 year after the consent judgment issued, ASICS issued new standards for how the college should calculate graduate employment rates for its 900 member schools. The change in standards prompted the college to seek an amendment to the consent judgment, and the state refused that request. The parties then went to the trial court and filed a joint motion, and the trial court sided with the state and forbade the college from disclosing employment data in accordance with both federal law and ASICS standards. And the impact of this order is significant. It deprives Coloradans of the information they need to compare colleges using similar data. It also runs contrary to the entire purpose of the CCPA, the Colorado Consumer Protection Act, because that is intended to provide people with the information they need to make choices. And finally, it puts the college's accreditation at risk.
Is the timer running for you?
It is not.
I apologize.
The issue presented on appeal is whether the negotiated consent judgment supplants federal law and the ASICS standards, even though the document itself mandates compliance with federal law and allows for modification when the ASICS standards change. The trial court's order falsely presumes that federal law is agnostic about how colleges are supposed to disclose it. Indeed, federal law requires disclosure of graduate employment data using accreditation standards. Moreover, the consent judgment and the extrinsic record that was created at the time the document was being negotiated both establish that the college is entitled to modify this consent judgment to conform to the ASICS standards.
Doesn't the consent judgment have its own standards? For reporting employment of graduates.
The consent judgment has a standard for determining when someone is employed in fields or employed in related fields. ASICS changed the standard to placement. And the third category is professional development. The consent judgment does not address how one is to report people that are categorized as professional development at all. And it certainly doesn't say that the only people you can report or disclose are those employed in fields and related fields.
But it's not required to.
I'm not sure I understand your question.
The consent judgment is not required to do this, is it?
The consent judgment simply says when you are identifying a person as employed in field or employed in related field, these are the standards you must meet. It has nothing to do with professional development. It also says, though, in section 3.3A, that you, the college, must make all disclosures required by federal law and Department of Education standards. And if you look at tab 1 in your binder, federal law, the rule 34 CFR 668.6, identifies the disclosures that must be made. And it says, If you are calculating graduate employment on a program basis, you must use the requirements of the accrediting body or the state agency. If you are using an institutional basis, you must use the accrediting agency or state methodology. And so either way, we are required to use the ASICS standard.
But council, why can't that be read to mean that if the state's methodology is different, such as in the consent agreement, that you have to use the consent agreement methodology?
That's the state's argument, and a very good question, Judge Carey. Originally, state agency meant the equivalent of the Department of Education. On October 31 of 2014, the Department of Education promulgated new rules and in their NPRM gave some guidance that state could also mean state court. But now if you look at the same tab one, 668.62 Roman 4, it says the institution must disclose using the information provided by the Department of Education, by the secretary. And that standard, that template, is tab two. And if you open tab two and look at the highlights specifically say, to the extent that you have accrediting body standards and state standards that are different, you must disclose both. So if the consent judgment standard is different than the ASICS standard, the requirement is not to ignore the ASICS standard, it's to provide both standards.
So if I may skip to what relief you're looking for here, are you looking to be able to disclose under both regimes?
That would be a perfectly acceptable alternative. In fact, that's what we proposed to the state as alternative. Was let us do both, and the state rejected that request.
Let me come back to the template. Is that presently in effect, or is it contemplated to go into effect in 2016 or 2017?
It is presently in effect, Your Honor. This is the current standard for disclosure. In 2017, there was modified rules that say the same thing, and that is in 34 CFR 668.412, and it says you still shall use the Department of Education's template, but that template can change. And so in theory, in 2017, they could change the template, but for right now, what you have in tab two is the template.
And that you are obligated to follow that.
We are obligated to follow that. And the consent judgment puts us in this predicament of violating federal law. We have two choices, violate federal law or be in contempt of court, and neither is appropriate.
What have you been doing?
We have been ignoring and violating federal law because we didn't want to be in contempt of court because we had this $1 million that was held over our head in the consent judgment.
Thank you.
So, turning back though to the temple, this only applies if there's conflict. And the consent judgment does not have any standards for professional development. So we believe that ASIC standard and the consent judgment are perfectly coterminous. They are exactly the same.
Isn't the consent judgment more stringent on the employed sections also?
The answer is no, Your Honor. That's a good question too, and certainly one of the arguments that the state is making. In 2012, when the consent judgment was negotiated, the ASIC standard simply was directly or indirectly. And as the state acknowledged, it lacked all details. It just said directly or indirectly, and that's page 10 of their brief. And what the state negotiated for was some objective meaning of what these terms directly or indirectly meant. And most of what was agreed to, the college was already employing to implement this imprecise standard. But then, as evidence that it's not more strict, the state put forward a draft that used the term direct. You can only identify someone as employed in field or related field if they directly use their education. And the college objected and said, this is more strict than the ASIC standard. We can't agree to this. It has to be the same. And so we proposed, since we knew indirect and direct were somewhat vague, we used the terms core skills reasonably based on educational objectives. And if you look at tab 3, which is the piece of the principal email, and you have the full record sites below, the entire point was to say there are many ways that we can craft verbiage that is synonymous with direct and indirect. Let's just get there. And after, and we proposed some words, and those words were accepted. And interpreting any contract such as this, you can use the extrinsic record to try and determine whether or not there is an ambiguity. And the purpose here is indirect and direct unambiguously more strict than core skills reasonably used? And the answer is you have no way to know. It could be one way or the other. So you have to look at the extrinsic record. And when you look at the extrinsic record, the only record is we want the two to be the same. We proposed that. The state gave nothing in response. And once that's the case, if one party says this is the meaning of the contract provision and the other party is silent, the law is plain, and this is the Flying J case out of the Tenth Circuit, but there are others as well, that the stated intent controls, that you can't stand on silence and then argue you met something. Turning to amendment now, my final point. In terms of amendment, given that federal law and the ASIC standards are the same, the fact that you look at 6.6 and it says you can amend if there's a change in law or there's a conflict with federal law or ASIC standards, the fact that federal law and ASICs are the same means an amendment is required. But even if it wasn't a federal law conflict, an amendment is required. Again, in tab three specifically says, we negotiated for this word, change in accrediting body standards. And we put forward the reasons. This conformance to federally approved accrediting agency standards should not be controversial, much less courtier settlement, quote unquote, tab three. The state agreed and again stood silent. And now there has been an express change in the very standard that was contemplated. If you look at tab three, the paragraph, the very example that's being used is if there is a change in the way employed field or related field is calculated.
Excuse me, counsel. The state has made the point that you could potentially change to another accrediting agency that wouldn't have a standard that would require you to violate, to have a problem with the consent agreement.
They certainly made that argument. There's no evidence in the record. The only evidence in the record on that point, Your Honor, is that it takes a really long time to change. It took Westwood years. They had were governed by two accrediting bodies because they had multiple campuses across the country, and they merged into one so they would have a uniform process. But there is no evidence that there is A, an easy process to go, or B, any standard that would meet the current document. And in fact, without information in the record, the national accrediting body standards are almost all uniform and same as ASICs.
How many different accrediting agencies are there?
There are two principal accrediting agencies, but there's a few national accrediting agencies, but there's a few others.
And these accredit proprietary schools, or accredit technical schools, or what are they accredit?
National accreditation is primarily career colleges.
Yes,
primarily. Your Honor, in conclusion, it's obvious to us that there is a violation of federal law. We're put in this odd position and unfairly. And we ask that you reverse and authorize the college to disclose employment outcomes using both federal law and the ASIC standards, and or reverse and remand to the district court with directions to modify the consent judgment and allow disclosure in accordance with the ACES current methodology. And I reserve the remainder of my time.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court, my name is Olivia de Blasio Webster, 35867, representing the state of Colorado.
Counsel, at some point in your argument, I'd like you to explain why this dual disclosure proposal isn't a practical solution that is ultimately fair to both sides. You don't have to start there.
Yes, Your Honor, absolutely. Your Honors, the State Attorney General is ready to sue Westwood in 2011 for violation of the Consumer Protection Act, specifically for misrepresenting their graduates' employment placement rate and exploiting their accrediting body's permissive placement rate standards. In order to avoid litigation, Westwood negotiated a settlement with the Attorney General. Negotiations took place over 6 months. And at the end of those 6 months, Westwood had bargained for a more stringent placement standard in order to avoid lengthy litigation and trial in this matter. In March 2012, the trial court entered as an order of the court the consent judgment. Now, in 2015, Westwood wants to change the very language they co-drafted and agreed to in order to take advantage of their accrediting body, ACICS's, new permissive guidelines for calculating placement rates. ACICS's new guidelines would allow Westwood to include in its placement rate jobs unrelated to the programs of study, so long as the graduate attests to the benefit of their degree program. Now, what this means is that Westwood could, and in fact has attempted to, count in its placement rate a graduate from the criminal justice program who simply works in a warehouse moving boxes. Because the graduate checked a box on a form that Westwood gave to the graduate called professional development.
Would that be consistent with ACES current standards? I mean, you gave a kind of an egregious example, but would that disclosure be consistent with ACES current standards?
The attestation form that Westwood has been utilizing, that was as part of the record that we presented to the trial court, was not an attestation form that was provided by ACICS. It was an attestation form that Westwood created and was using in an effort to utilize this place professional development category that ACICS developed in 2013.
But is the terminology consistent with the ACES standard?
It is, Your Honor, yes.
Well, isn't it possible that someone with an associate degree or with a degree from this institution would be more attractive as an employee, regardless of what field they study?
I certainly think that's possible, Your Honor, but the issue here is how the placement rate that Westwood is required to calculate it is done. And under the consent judgment, employed in field and related field, which by the way is the same placement phraseology that ACICS uses even today to define placement, to define what goes in the numerator of this placement rate calculation, requires Westwood to calculate. In fact, enjoins Westwood from calculating a position as employed in field or related field unless the program utilizes the core skills taught in the degree program and is reasonably based on the educational objectives of the degree program from which the student graduated. And the reason that this was put into place is because during the investigation, as alleged in the complaint, Westwood was including in its placement rate when it was ostensibly complying with ACICS standard back in 2012, was including graduates whose jobs had no relationship to their programs of study and no relationship to the jobs that Westwood was advertising.
I think we're familiar with that background, counsel. I have a question for you, though. The federal regulation is very interesting to me in that it seems to equate the importance of the accrediting agency's way of doing things with the states. So in other words, it doesn't seem to give priority if the state has a higher standard. Can you address that? I mean, it seems like there's some, I don't know if the Department of Education has some oversight over the accrediting agencies or whatever, but it does seem to give quite a bit of deference to the accrediting agencies.
It appears that it does, but what's going on here is that, and you, I think, had asked this question earlier about the number of accrediting bodies that are out there. And then there, I think, I believe that there's about 6 or 7 national accrediting bodies that accredit many proprietary schools, including Westwood. And these accrediting bodies that are national in scope typically require their member schools to calculate a placement rate. Other accrediting bodies, such as regional accrediting bodies, do not. And there's also many states, except for Colorado, that also require schools to calculate placement rates. So with the federal regulations, what they're doing in this particular rule, 668.6, is saying, if you're required by your accrediting body or the state in which you operate to calculate a placement rate, then disclose that. I don't think they're giving credence to the accrediting bodies per se.
Well, they could have left the accrediting bodies out of the reg altogether. But I want to get back to Judge Webb's original question. Isn't this all going to be moot in 2007? Aren't you going to be in the same position you are essentially now? Because the federal regulation is going to require this dual reporting standard, isn't it?
The federal regulations don't require a dual reporting standard unless you are required by two different entities.
I meant 17, not 2007.
I understand, yes. The federal regulations do not require a dual reporting standard. They give that option in the template if a school is in that situation where, for instance, they are subject to calculate and report a placement rate, for instance, to their accrediting body, as well as to, for instance, the DPOS in this state.
Well, isn't that the position that Westwood either finds itself now or will find itself in 2017 of being arguably obligated to make dual disclosures against with different standards?
Westwood is not obligated under the federal regulations to disclose its accrediting body, the rate that its accrediting body requires pursuant to that exact methodology. Westwood is required under the consent judgment to calculate a placement rate in a particular manner. And this is what it bargained for, it's what it agreed to, and it's what the trial court entered as an order of the court.
Well, let me come back to the specific language of the DOE reg is, quote, the institution must use the accrediting agency or state methodology to calculate a placement rate. Now, if those, can we agree that Westwood is currently subject to two requirements, its accrediting agency and the consent judgment, meaning the power of the state?
Westwood is subject to the consent judgment.
Isn't it also subject to the federal standard?
It is, and the federal standard is not preempt a stricter standard than what its accrediting body requires. There's nothing in the federal regulations that preempts a stricter standard imposed by a state.
Well, how do you interpret the word or in the reg I just read to you? Is it one or the other, or is it more reasonable to interpret or in this setting as both?
I think outside of a consent judgment, if a school were subject to its accrediting body's requirement to calculate a rate and a state requirement to calculate a rate that were separate and apart.
And different. What would the school do?
The school would disclose both, but this is a different situation.
Why?
Where Westwood is required, it's required to calculate a rate in a specific way. No matter who it reports that rate to, it's required to calculate the rate only in the way specified in the consent judgment, which is more stringent than the ACICS.
But the consent judgment includes language in 3.3i and 3.2i and 3.3a triple I that cross-references the federal regulations and in fact disclaims any conflict between the requirements of the consent judgment and the federal regs. So I'm having trouble understanding your statement that Westwood is obligated to comply only with the consent judgment. I think only was your word.
Westwood is required to comply with federal regulations, of course. Nothing in the federal regulations preempts a strict Westwood from complying with the standard stricter than what its accrediting body requires. So by complying with the consent judgment, disclosing rates under the consent judgment, it's not going to run afoul of the federal regulations.
Well, you're making that statement because the consent judgment is more restrictive or narrower than the crediting agency standards?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, well, if that was what the Department of Education had intended, wouldn't it make more sense for the regulation to have read, comply with the accrediting agency or the state or whichever is stricter, which is your argument that that's not what the regs are?
Again, outside of the consent judgment, it would make sense if a school was subject to two different calculations for rates to disclose both, which is what is contemplated, I believe, in the template.
Well, it's not contemplated, it's required, isn't it?
It's contemplated, it's allowed. It's allowing the school, if you have two different rates, disclose them to the public in this manner.
Well, why isn't that sufficiently protective of the public interest? I understand your viewpoint. You have a consent agreement and it requires it, but just going beyond that, assuming that the Department of Education thought about it when it put this reg together, why isn't requiring a dual disclosure, or at least allowing a dual disclosure, sufficiently protective of the public?
In this situation, Your Honor, dual disclosure would subject Westwood to violation of the consent judgment. Following the current ACICS guideline, which, mind you, that consent judgment has always differed from and been more stringent than the ACICS guideline. So frankly, any change in the ACICS guideline is irrelevant. However, by following the current guideline and utilizing this place professional development, Westwood would be in violation of the consent judgment.
I get that, but that's not my question. Aren't we supposed to assume that by creating this reg, the Department of Education decided that this, whatever the accreditation agency's standards are, is sufficiently protective of the public?
I don't think the federal regulations take into account individual situations of lawsuits and consent judgments where a particular school has been identified as violating its own accrediting standards placement rate calculations, and that therefore a specific injunction has been put into place to prevent any further harm to the public based on past bad acts that have been identified and alleged in the complaint.
Counsel, that doesn't answer my question. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Why isn't the new standard that's been put in place by the accrediting agency sufficiently protective of the public interest, regardless of anybody's background?
The template, as you're referring to, with the dual disclosure, would be sufficient to protect the public. But for this situation where Westwood has been identified as violating one of the disclosures that it would be giving out to the public.
So the stipulation is to punish Westwood? Yeah.
The stipulation is that Westwood agreed to a specific type of standard that is stricter than its accrediting bodies in order to avoid litigation and trial, because the state alleged and investigated violations of how it was calculating its rates.
But if the purpose is to protect the public, isn't the public best protected by having statistics that are consistently prepared according to the same standard? Aren't they better served with that?
I think that's an excellent point, and hopefully this will help me answer your question a little bit better, Judge Terry. There are numerous methods in existence for calculating placement rates. There's no way for a prospective student to compare schools apples to apples. even with the dual disclosure methodology that the federal regulations provide, it would still be very difficult for a student to compare.
So this is really a fool's errand?
It's not a fool's errand in the sense that we're here because the consent judgment is preventing harm by a particular school. And we're here because this particular school, Westwood, would like to utilize a more permissive standard that would allow to possibly mislead students about its placement rate in order to induce them to enroll.
But didn't the state give that up by specifically incorporating the federal regs in 3.3A triple I and 3.2H, which says that the consent decree can't conflict with the federal requirements?
And it does not conflict. The state did not give up any argument, if I'm understanding what you're asking, Judge Webb. The consent judgment has never and still does not conflict with federal regulations. Simply because Westwood is required to calculate a placement rate that is stricter than its accrediting body does not mean that it can't disclose its placement rate pursuant to federal law.
Well, pursuant to federal law, though, is to disclose it according to the accrediting agency standards.
The federal law does not, 668.6 does not prescribe how the schools are to calculate their placement rate. It simply says, if you are required to calculate a rate pursuant to your accrediting body or state, you must disclose that rate.
Doesn't it also require the methodology, use of the accrediting agency's methodology?
I don't believe it does, Your Honor. Taking the third sentence in isolation, which was what Westwood's argument was in the underlying matter, it would appear that the methodology that the federal government is saying you must use the methodology of your accrediting body or state and apply that to a program level placement rate. 668.6, the whole point of it is part of the gainful employment rules. And it's wanting schools to disclose a program level placement rate. And it specifically says, if your accrediting body or state requires you to calculate a program level placement rate, disclose it. The third sentence says, if you're required to calculate something other than a program level placement rate, apply that methodology to a program level and then disclose that rate.
Only, thank you.
Pardon me?
Only that rate?
They're only interested, the gainful employment rules are only interested in the program level placement rate.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Judge Webb, I think you hit the nail on the head. 3.3A is very plain. It says you must continue to disclose in accordance with Department of Education regulations. And you turn to 668.6, and it says you must disclose using the accrediting body requirements and methodology. And then there is a separate point that seems to be missed, and that is the institution must, 668.6B2, use the disclosure form issued by the secretary. And then you turn to tab 2, which is the disclosure form issued by the secretary currently in use today, and it says, if the institution calculates and reports the selected gainful employment program's job placement rate for both its accrediting agency and its state, both rates must be entered and included. It is not discretionary, it is mandatory. And so this whole notion that we, Westwood, must use something different than the accrediting body standards is contrary to federal law, contrary to the plain language of the consent judgment, and contrary to public policy, and contrary to 6.6, which allows us to modify it. There's a conflict between federal law and the consent.
Let me ask you a practical question. You report these things. You report these employment rates by whatever standard. Are they published and circulated to the general public?
Yes.
in a group, I mean, a whole book full of all the colleges and what their rates are?
The answer to that is no. Every college is required to put it on the internet, to make it publicly available. And what Westwood does, and I'm not sure this is in the record, but I believe it is it hands every student during the admissions process its most current placement data. So it has it, and it shows how many graduates by program, how many got employed, and then has percentages.
So it may not affect the choice of institution.
It very well could. The whole purpose of these disclosures is so students can compare apples to apples. With all due respect to the state's argument, while there are a few different accrediting agencies, the entire purpose of the disclosure is to give the students information that they can use to make a choice. Whether students do that or not consistently is a different question, but that is the purpose. And when you look, what is the you hit the nail on the head, Judge Roy, is this, it sounds as though the state's objective is to be punitive to Westwood, to put it in a worse position, so it looks at the college, and the college is then in a situation where it's not being viewed apples to apples, so people won't attend our school. And that's contrary to what we negotiated in the consent judgment. Again, I ask that you reverse the trial court and allow us to utilize the ASICS standard as in accordance with the law.
One more question, Council.
Yes.
Before you sit down, this template that you have in tab two here, is this the template that is required by the Department of Education, or is this the template that's required by ASICS?
Department of Ed, if you look on the first page, for help with using the Department of Education's gainful employment, this is the DOE's template.
Thank you.
We appreciate the arguments of both counsel. The case stands submitted. We will issue a written opinion in due course. Counsel are excused.